Life can be snuffed out so quickly. A fly is swatted on the wall, a dog dies in the highway. For then we see the lifeless body of a parent on a deathbed, where just a few moments ago there was a living human person. Corpses are carried out of fire-ravaged apartment houses on the television screen. Tens of thousands of people have died in air raids, and millions in concentration camps. Life, human and non-human, is cheap. Our own life is terribly precious to us. It is almost unthinkable that we should lose it. Hence, Sigmund Freud argued that the subconscious is convinced of its own immortality. Being alive is so rich, so precious, so comprehensive, so unquestionable, that we simply cannot believe in our heart that someday each of us is going to die. Death, we always feel, is something that happens to other people. Perhaps intellectually, we might be willing to admit that we may die someday. But in the very depths of our own personality, as well as in the ordinary daily routine of our lives, there is a constant, ongoing, stubborn denial of our own death. Now, the little story that Jesus told today in the Holy Gospel represents not merely the kind of experience that was common to the people of his own time to whom he spoke, but it happens to be an experience that is universal in the human condition. There are always survivors around who will shake their heads in sheer disbelief whenever they look upon the corpse of a rich person who no longer is able to enjoy his or her precious riches. Howard Hughes was neither the first nor the last of such tragic figures. But you see, there is a double irony for those very people who shake their heads and marvel at the irony of a death of a rich person. They too shall someday all die themselves, perhaps not leaving behind many riches, but at least leaving behind whatever possessions they have, and all of their hopes and plans and friends, who are also very dear to them. Those of us here now may not have amassed very much in this world, but death eventually will take away even that. Each of us is a thoughtful person, at least at times. And whenever we have these thoughtful moods, we do become faced with this overwhelming, inevitable fact of our own death. And it is in those moments that we usually ask ourselves, if I was born to die, why was I born at all? Was it not cruel to thrust me into this existence, to make this existence and the people who fill it so sweet and precious to me? Would it not really have been better had I not lived at all than to have lived only to die? Now that happens to be the most fundamental religious question that any person can ever ask in their life. In fact, it is the most basic question that anyone can ask at all. And that, of course, is the reason why we all avoid asking the question, since the answers are so uncertain and problematic. And yet, throughout history, every good religious leader that humankind has ever known has always tried to make his followers face this mystery of death. And that is exactly and precisely what Jesus is up to in today's gospel story. He wants to persuade those people who are listening to him and all people down through history the meaning of the words of the first reading today. Life is vanity of vanities, and all things are vanities. Unless there is some purpose, some goal, some meaning in our life, a meaning that will surely transcend our death. Now, the rich man in today's story is, as a matter of fact, already living a death in his own lifetime. His own personal frantic attempts to build up this bastion of security for himself, to protect himself from the tragedy of death, merely paralyzes all the days of his life. He is not able at all truly to live. He is not able to commit himself to the joys and challenges of life. As long as the only goal that he has is gathering riches that are designed to protect him from death. Now the paradox is this. Those people who are afraid to die cannot truly live and enjoy life. And those people who bravely accept the inevitability of their death thereby become free to enjoy their life. Those people who are constantly afraid to die cannot really live. And those people who bravely and prayerfully accept the inevitability of their death become free to enjoy the days of their life. Life not as something that is to be hoarded before it is lost, but life rather is something that is really a hint, a revelation, an invitation, and above all a promise that there is even a better life after death. The poor rich man in the little story today tried so hard to protect himself from the sheer fragility and transience of human life by continuing to pile up more and more wealth and get bigger and bigger barns. Nowadays, there are even other ways of running away that are more subtle. One can seek reassurance by taking all the proper stands in life, endorsing all the right causes, assenting to all of the correct party lines, mouthing all of the right cliches, and accepting everything that is trendy. But you see, those kinds of attempts to deal with the fragility, the thinness of our existence, they simply don't work. Ultimately, we all end up clinging to our very being by our fingertips. Our life is given to us for just a brief time, and then it's taken away. And no amount of desperate activity, no amount of self-deception is ever going to change that harsh reality. But there are alternatives that Jesus gave us. According to Jesus, either we can run blindly and desperately, run away from the awesome inevitability of death, or he said we can accept the fact that our life itself is a gift that has been given to us. A gift that is the result of some loving graciousness that must be completely trusted, because it has been given to us as our existence, as a gift of life that implicitly promises continual love. Those were the words that we sang in today's responsorial song, profound words that we who ask eventually shall receive what we ask for. That if we do go on seeking day in and day out, eventually, someday, we will find what we're looking for. And if we do continue to knock, someday, the door will be opened and we will understand. Those words we sang, taken from last Sunday's gospel, do not make up some kind of a new revelation. It is simply a reassertion on the part of Jesus today that we human beings are able to have a deep sense in our heart that we have been thrust into our existence in this beautiful ambience of graciousness, that we enjoy the atmosphere, the environment, the context of graciousness, that life is a gift, that the very setting of our life is gracious. And we can sense it at least some of the time, and even those times when we feel the evil in our environment. The mere fact that life is still there and that we're in it continues to give us the hint that life continues to be gracious. And so Jesus did not come simply to tell us something we did not already suspect. He came to tell us that all these hints that we have in our heart of how gracious life is, how we experience that fact, is so valid, and that the suspicion that we have that if we go on praying and seeking, we will find, if we go on asking, we will be given. These are the most powerful and profound truths that we will ever know. And that's why the gospel today is not one of gloom. The gospel really is filled with the good news of hope and resurrection. But just a reminder that there's a little bit of Howard Hughes in each one of us, that we all do have the equivalence of the foolish farmer's wealth. And it is precisely on this day, in the beginning of August, when summertime is more or less half over, that we become aware of the passing parade, the transiency and the fragility of something even as marvelous as summertime. And that's why this is precisely the time to ask ourselves, how do we personally try to escape the inevitability of our death? Summertime is the best time for that kind of meditation, because summertime is so fragile, just like our life. Meanwhile, in summertime, each day is a gift, and each moment is so precious.